you ever get the feeling that we're all turning into the same person?
Good morning. My name is Michael Morgan and
I know who you are. You were just here.
Did I look very much like me?
I think because it's just fascinating as someone who's actually made films myself to find all the elements that you would find in a feature film but have such a limitation on to the amount of time that you can use to tell the story, to create the atmosphere. It's a very underrated form for that reason, because that kind of limitation, I think it's almost a more courageous thing than making a feature film.
Is there a marked difference between the filmmakers who wanted to make a short film, a glimpse into something, a window into a life rather than the whole life, and those that you felt were just making a short film as a gateway to making something else, or as an experiment to show off a technique, and it didn't have the best interests of the form in mind?
There were a few films, and a few in particular sort of entered my mind as you were talking, that you could kind of see that what they wanted to do was a feature film, and it was kind of just a starting point or like a teaser, a trailer almost for making that. What I think then happens is that there's no real satisfying conclusion to the film. It sort of peters out and loses any impact that it had. So I think when you're looking for a good short film to put into a festival, at least from my perspective, I'm looking for something that offers those things that a feature film would give you when you go and visit the cinema, and to be complete in itself.
Could you mention a little bit about the five themes that the films are broken into?
We've got existential, growing pain, love and loss, nostalgia, and life distorted. Putting them together was kind of an interesting thing. I'd never really done that before, and it was kind of more a sense of how to fit such diverse films together. I basically just used sort of intuition. But it was also about trying to find connections between the films. So we've got Life Distorted. I'd say it's got sort of a Jeunet feel about it, a Jean-Pierre Jeunet feel. Love and Loss looks at the importance of love, but also the importance of loss within how we grow and how we change, and sometimes for the better, sometimes not, but how it affects us as individuals, as human beings. Growing pain, the S is missing. That's very important to me, because all the films in that one have something to say about transitions in life. We also have existential, that again ties in with looking at what it means to be human. And then the last one is nostalgia, looking at history, but not just real history. So there's a couple of documentary sort of things in there, but also looking at imagined history, how we perceive the past.
Are there any films in the programme where they're a bit rough around the edges and they may not have gone into other programmes, but you could see there was still a spark there that needed to be encouraged, that needed to be seen?
It's about coherence. There are at least a couple of films which I would say they aren't the bigger budget short films, but there's something definitely there. And one in particular is a film called Hitching the A1, which is in our existential strand.
London, the largest city in the world, has a splendid road service of passenger buses for the millions of people needing quick and comfortable transport from place to place.
My name's Gary McQuiggin, and my film is called Hitching the A1. It's a short film about a journey me and a fellow filmmaker, Onyeka Igwe, made up the longest road in Britain, the A1 from London to Edinburgh. It was about making a road trip, and there's no longer road trip than the A1 in Britain if you're going in a straight line. It's nicknamed the backbone of Britain by some people. I thought it would be an interesting way to kind of to look at the country via this route that takes in a lot of different landscapes, a lot of different psyches, a lot of different places. I just thought it'd be interesting to thrust myself into it and see what I find.
The style is so deliberate and careful. Was this feeling of something having been lost? Is that something you were aware of when you started on the journey, or something that seemed to come into place as you were on the journey itself?
It was definitely something that I picked up on the way, so to speak. Anyone I spoke to about hitchhiking spoke about it in the past tense. I mean, I mention in the film that it's something of dying art, which is, you know, was the impression I got before doing it. And I always wanted the film to have a kind of melancholy tone to it. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I would say a lot of the selections that I made resonated particularly with things that I approached the project with. So, for example, there's a man who says there's a romance to driving, and I definitely felt that that was something that I thought would come up. And, you know, I definitely wanted there to be a kind of romance to the film.
What sort of life has the film had since you made it?
The film premiered, so to speak, at a film festival that the British Film Institute run. I've been submitting it since February, when I kind of decided it was finished. And it's had a screening on the community channel. But it's also, I also put it online in June, just because it kind of feels like you're sitting, you know, you're kind of sitting on it for a long time if you're waiting for festivals to kind of approve it. Or, you know, I kind of feel I want people to watch it rather than I want, you know, kind of film festival crowds to watch it. I want anyone to watch it, you know.
The answer lies in Welland Garden City.
I'm getting less precious, I think, about where you see films. And I think the internet has its role. But yes, I would agree that I think it's also important to have other ways of seeing. And the cinematic experience, whether it's a short or whether it's a feature, is important because it's a communal experience. And that changes the way you view the film. That changes the way you interact with the film. That, in turn, changes the film itself.
Could you talk a little bit about the film that's outside all the strands, Just Before Losing Everything, and why that's outside all of the strands?
Just Before Losing Everything, it's sitting outside the strands because it's so impactful. Before I went to the Cannes Film Festival, I went to the Clermont-Ferrand website, which Clermont-Ferrand is known to be sort of the biggest and most reputable short film festival in the world. And I thought, well, you know, it would be good to go with a bit of an idea of some things to look out for. One of those things was the Grand Jury Prize winner, Avant que de tout perdre. When I saw it, I think of all the film, all the short films that I've seen, and I've seen many, and you know, a vast majority of them are just fantastic. But this film in particular sort of really blew me away in the fact that I found myself holding my breath, and it really struck home to me the sort of temporal prejudice that exists in regard to short film, and the fact that, you know, here's this film 30 minutes long and I'm having such a visceral reaction to it. There's something important, something to be said about why we sideline short film so much, but then also, you know, that this film in particular, I think I sort of see it as a way to get people in. Hopefully people will have a similar reaction to what I had, and then that may open up their minds to be able to, you know, watch other short films.
This year the screenings seem to be a little bit more audience friendly in the timings. Usually they've been shuttled away a little bit into the late night, and whilst there are some post 11 p.m. screenings here, there are more at 5:30, there are some at the morning.
Yes, I think it was a very conscious decision after last year to make them more accessible. Growing Pain is actually showing, one session is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and that is because there's going to be a school visit to that one, and, you know, there's things that have been taken into consideration about making them accessible, not just to late night audiences, but to maybe family audiences or younger audiences as well. Creating these short programs has been just as much an education for me in regards to short film, and I feel very proud of every film that's in the short strand. I feel a bit protective of them as well.
At 12:02, On the exit of Mr. Vaughan for his lunchtime tipple, Emmeline would steal away to Gothic castles, deserted treasure islands, and 18th century Paris. And occasionally, if something really caught her eye, Emmeline would sneak out.